We're having this parasha, the entire episode is Moshe Rabbeinu, and he starts off Mitzrayim. Ultimately, he flees due to the threat of his life from those who went to Paradise, Naviram, and he goes to Midian. And he's here for many, many years. The entire story has developed, and ultimately, Akash Baruch Hu comes to Moshe and he says, "It's time to pack up. It's time to go back to Mitzrayim. Kimezu kol anoshim avakshim avshecha. Those who are out to get you, those who are out to kill you, they have died. They're no longer a threat. Go ahead and go back home." And Akash Baruch Hu proceeds to give Moshe his marching orders. Go back, and it's time for the Gula to begin. Now, the Gemara Nedarim says that the actual occurrence which took place was that the people who were trying to kill Moshe did not die at all. The people in question were Dustin and Aviram, and we find them show up quite a few times throughout the history of the Klai Yisrael, proceeding through the Midbar, the times of Korach, until they met their end over there. But throughout the Midbar, they keep on showing up again and again and again. Clearly, then, they had not actually died. So what does this mean? So the Gemara says in Nedarim and Samach Dalam Rebeis, the Tanya are Baruch Hashuv and Kameis. There are four people who we classify as being the equivalent of a mace, equivalent of having passed away. Aniu Mitzayra Vesumo Mishain Lebanim. Somebody who has no money, and somebody who has teras, somebody who is blind, and somebody who has no children. How do we know this? The Gemara proceeds to give sukkim for each one. Sources where we equate someone who is afflicted with one of these things as someone who is dead, and therefore the two are considered deemed to be equivalent. Where do we know that an ani is chashuv kameis? So the Gemara says ani d'ksev kameisu kol anoshim. Thus, Raviram, who we say, Kimeis, they died, and therefore they posed no threat to Moshe, must have been Aniyim. They did not die. It must be their Aniyim. It does not say anything about, though, it does not say anything at all about Aniyim in the parasha. We have no real information that they became poor. Interestingly, the Ran says, how do you know? Maybe they got Taras. Right? Maybe they had no children. And the Ran proceeds to go through each scenario why those were deemed not relevant to this case. And therefore, since it can't be any of the other three, the Gemara assumes there must be a fourth scenario, which is Daimel Meis, and that will be the case of Aniyim. The question is, what exactly does this mean? We have four scenarios, and these four are equivalent to death. Now, death is a pretty serious thing. Now, it's a game over. So what exactly are these four people who have very much, are middle of their life, and they may be having a very large degree of fulfillment in their life? Why should this be considered a kemes? So Rav Chaim Shlomit suggests that, we find Bechlal that in life there are givers and takers. There are people who, especially in a society such as Yadus, where we live in a society where everyone interacts on a daily level. We're all totally with each other, we're dependent on each other, we're here for each other. He says, but there are people in life who see themselves as givers, people who see themselves as takers. And my chiv to give to people also is reflected that they have a legal right to certain aid, certain assistance. The same way, go back to Bikah Chaylam, the same way I'm a chiv to Mevakah Chaylam, Chaylam is entitled to demand, he can't demand, but he's entitled to that assistance. An ani has a legal right to request tzedakah. The two ends of the same, every coin has two sides to it. Now, if you look at the Torah never, to the best of my knowledge, the Torah, throughout all the scenarios, rarely speaks of the recipient's right to receive what he's receiving. The Torah always speaks about the donor, what he must do. The Torah refers to us as Klai Yisrael, it gives us our orders. It focuses very much on the obligations of the individual, how he has to give to society, as opposed to what he's able to receive. A Yid is supposed to be a giver. A Yid is supposed to go out there and do what he can, everything he has to offer, to give out to everybody in his kehillah, in his shul, in his society. He's supposed to be giving to other people. There are scenarios where one can't give, one has to take. But ultimately, the role a Yid is supposed to have is to be a giver. The Zayir says over that there's a difference, and the Shammah is considered, in the Shammah is referred to in two stages. Pre-birth, the Shammah is referred to as a be'er. Post-birth, it's referred to as a mayon. What's the difference? A be'er is a pit full of water. It's capable of receiving. That's where it stops. Water comes into a be'er. That's where it stops. A mayon sends forth water. He says the purpose of coming down to this world is in Shemayim we can receive a lot. We're close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we can receive a lot. That's not why we came down here. We came down here to take the good that we have. Each person has their own unique good and to give it over to others, to be a mayon, to give to other people. Each one of us in our unique capability. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, there are four people who within their own spheres are incapable of giving. They're incapable because they lack the capability to give. An ani has no money. He has financial resources. He's going to be a taker. He can't be a giver. And the very fact that he can't be a giver labels him as somebody who is equivalent to being a mace. Likewise, other people. It's just somebody who has no children. The greatest fear one can be in giver is within one's own family. To mechanic one's children, to raise one's children properly, and to give it, to provide for them what one can, is the greatest dimension of giving, being a giver. The case of Taras, somebody sits in Michutz L'machana, he's isolated from Klai Yisrael, and therefore he has no interaction, he can't be a giver. And the last scenario is the case of Suma, somebody who's blind. The Chaim Shlomit said, he said of himself, he himself is very hard of hearing. He said, he sees by himself, but somebody who's hard of hearing can't receive. He can't hear what others have to offer, but he can give. Someone who's hard of hearing can give. But somebody who's blind can't show someone else which way to go. The Pasuk is telling us, and these four scenarios are telling us, that if a person can't see himself as being a giver, on some level he's Chashuv Kameis. Chanukah Hashem.